Now, here we go. Okay. So we have come to the end of Exiles. We've been doing this now for 6 weeks. And what we've been able to do is to actually look at the Exiles and see how what happened then we can actually find and turn into our lives today. So we're now at the end of the Exiles. And it's sort of, I was looking for the word Exiles. A bit like the word the traitors. You know, anybody who's seen the series The Traitors? And I have, and it was excellent. And of course, you know, it was previously on The Traitors. Well, previously in The Exiles, but we're not going to go there because Steve's already ruined that for me. So that's our folks. Well, not quite. This is where I'm going to take the microphone and move to the side of the screen, so that everybody can actually read. And here we go. We're going to be looking at Nehemiah verses 1 to 8 to start with. All the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women, and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood, here we go, Mattithiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And on his left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashem, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshullam. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And then as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Benaiah, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Peliah instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. And they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. So, at the beginning of our passage, we can see that there is a big meeting taking place. Yet it's so big, they've built a platform for Ezra to stand on. Now, I'm not sure, actually, if Ezra was vertically challenged, like some people I know. But the idea was that they could all see him. However, there's some things I want to actually point out. Things to consider. First of all, it was a long meeting. Ezra spoke from sunrise till noon. That's probably about 6 hours. Yeah? I think in some versions of the Bible, he said it spoke for a quarter of the day. So it is about 6 hours. Now, can we cope with that long? Why are you pulling your face? You see, according to scientists, our attention span is approximately 20 minutes. Now, some people it's longer, some people it's shorter. Do you know what? Some people are already on their phones. Next point. When Ezra read from the book of the law of Moses, everybody stood up. Now, just imagine that in church. And it used to be, do you know, it used to be normal practice that when the minister would actually go into the pulpit and read the word of God, everybody stood up. And it was done as a sign of respect, not for the minister, but for the word of God, because it was in a way that was glorifying it, and it's quite right that that was actually done. Ezra did the reading. But you know what? He wasn't the only speaker. Imagine if it was me up here for 6 hours. Go on, imagine. No. See, they had a bunch of interpreters, if you like. They had the Levites, who actually went, and as Ezra read the law, they were explaining exactly what it meant to the crowds. You know, they must have been good. They must have been good. Because you know what? They actually left the crowd in tears. Now, I don't think they were tears of joy, but they left the crowd in tears. We're now going to move on to the next bit, which is the declaration of the feast. Now, this is what they would have been getting excited about. They've gathered them all together. They've read for 6 hours, and then suddenly this happens. Nehemiah stands up, the governor. Ezra the priest and the teachers of the law and the Levites who were instructing the people. And he said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people. Steve told us that earlier. Stole my thunder. The Levites calmed all of the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood that the words that had been made known to them. Right, back one. Right, here we go. So Nehemiah's now got up. Ezra's been doing a lot of the talking. The Levites have been doing a lot of the talking. And Nehemiah, now the governor of Jerusalem. What was he before? Let's go back in our memories for a few weeks ago. And he used to be the cupbearer, correct? Now, the cupbearer, as Mike told us, was not a job you wanted, because basically you were tasting and making sure that what was offered to the king wasn't poisoned. So it's not a job you actually wanted. So this, I believe, is promotion. Woohoo! I don't have to eat anything that's going to poison me now. And you see, he's made a declaration. He's been so well promoted that he can actually stand up and make a declaration. He's not king, but he is the governor. "Today is a holy day. Stop your blubbering." Well, he didn't quite say it like that. I would have. "Stop crying. What's wrong with you? It's a day of celebration." But maybe there is a grain of truth in that. Maybe stopping people from actually wailing and weeping, because it's not a day of mourning, it's a day of rejoicing. Or to put it another way, in the words of our younger people in the congregation, "Let's party." Why are you hiding your face? You see, it wasn't just the governor who was turning around and saying this. If we remember rightly, the priests of the temple also added their authority. So if it's not just one man, it's also the priests as well. So, you know, I'm not going to listen to Nehemiah. No, you're going to listen to these guys, though, because they've already told you all about the law. And if they're telling you to calm down, and stop crying, and do not weep, because obviously what had gone on before was a time when they were going through it as a nation, but now it's time to eat, drink, and be merry. But there was another thing there. They shared their food. No one was going to be left on their own to actually sit there like Billy No Mates and have nothing. So they shared everything. No one was to be left out, it said. And now we come on to the feast itself, the Feast of the Tabernacles. Let's read on. On the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra the teacher to give attention to the words of the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout their towns and in Jerusalem. There we go. Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and wild olive trees and from myrtles, palms, shady trees to make temporary shelters, as it is written. So the people went out and brought back branches and built themselves temporary shelters on their own roofs, in their courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company had returned from exile, built temporary shelters and lived in them. From the days of Joshua of Nun until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated like this, and their joy was very great. Oh, I've got one more page. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the festival for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. So it's day two. Okay? They've had to listen to a 6-hour sermon, and now we're going to actually start the feast itself, the Feast of the Tabernacles. And they were diligent, you know. They didn't just say, we're just going to have a feast, you know, we'll be all right. They were told how it was done in days of old, how they would actually build these shelters, what to build them from the various types of trees that they needed to use. And this is actually what they call a remembrance feast. It's a reminder to the Jews of God's provision during their exile. Because when you read back and you think back, they used to live in temporary shelters as they were wandering in the wilderness, because they didn't have homes or anything. They literally just lived in tents. Then they picked them up and they moved on to another tent or another area. Then they picked them up and they moved on to another area. Then they followed the Ark of the Covenant and they moved on. Anybody remember MASH? The series, yeah? Okay, now there's bits in the series of MASH, this has just come to me, but this is the sort of thing that you can do. In that series, they actually moved the actual Army Surgical Hospital and then moved it to another place and then set it up again and carried on looking after the injured. So it's a little bit like that. I don't know why that came to me, but it was just one of those things. And remember, when it came to these shelters, they were doing it for 40 years. And they'd never celebrated. They'd never celebrated. Remember what it said there? They celebrated the festival for 7 days. In accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. And they hadn't celebrated it at all in that way. And it was a big festival. It's not like one of our weddings, you know, where we have a bit of a jolly, you know, and maybe there's going to be a wedding breakfast, and maybe there's actually going to be a party afterwards. This was 7 to 8 days. They really knew how to do it. In fact, if I'd have been invited to a party that was going to last 7 to 8 days, I might just have taken up the invitation. And of course, like any good structured festival, it was structured. There was a strict pattern to this feast. So at the beginning, Ezra read from the book of the law. And then they parted for 7 days. And then on the eighth day, they all gathered back together. And it was really, really exciting. And it's so good that the Jews still do this to this day. They still celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm not sure that they actually put up temporary tents inside their house or in their garden, but they might. Maybe some of the more strict, particular people. Mike's nodding and saying, yes, they do. Right, so there they do. Okay. So what? Ron, you've been up here for like 20 minutes. What? So what? What is this actually teaching us today, 2025? Now, this is a phrase that I learned when I was actually doing training on software. This is a phrase that a lot of teachers will use, and those who are going to become teaching assistants will use. The phrase is, so what? What does this story actually teach us? You see, I don't know if anybody here is Jewish. I don't look around and I don't think anybody looks Jewish. No, you don't. So we don't celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Do you know what? We don't listen to 6 hours of the Word of God. It might seem like that some weeks. It doesn't seem like that today now, does it?
No.
Oh, yes, it does. Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. We're getting into panto season. We're not doing that. Okay. But you see, we don't do these sorts of things. We don't retell the old stories from long ago. Or do we? Actually, we do. You see, we just don't do it for this particular feast. This is not something that is in our DNA. But let me consider the following. Where are we now in the calendar year? We are at the end of November, nearly at the end of November. We are just about to enter the Collins family's favourite time of the year. Yes, it's Christmas. If you didn't realise, they quite like Christmas. Quite. But as a church, as a body of believers, what is it we do at Christmas? Well, we actually retell the story, again, of the birth of Jesus. From the conception via the Holy Spirit, to the journey to Bethlehem, to the birth. There's the shepherds. Look, there we go. To the visit of the shepherds and the wise men. And then, of course, a nice big picture there. Sometimes we actually even mention the flight to Egypt, where Jesus' parents lived in exile. There's the link. You knew it was coming. And do you know what? We don't just do this 1 week. We actually do this across 4 Sundays, usually, when we start talking about Advent. We're going to be starting retelling again because we love to. So we're going to be retelling, and that's where Beth's going to come in next week, about this story, this marvellous, magical story. And I use the word magical guidedly because it was just such a wonderful thing that God did. But we know it so well. So why do we retell it? Because we retell it with great joy. No pressure, but you've got to tell it with great joy. All right. For those of you who are actually speaking in the next few weeks, do it with joy. And like the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Jews knew how to tell a story. Really did. And they retold it every year. And they still do. And we still do. You see, we will also have a feast. You see, I believe that Christmas is a time of great joy. I know for some people Christmas can be a time that can be a little bit miserable, but it really is a time of great joy. Then Jesus came down as a baby to be our saviour of the world for every single one of us. It's also for us a time to actually share. Yeah? No one should go without. We should not, as a church family, we should not be seeing anybody going without and being alone. And it is a time to be happy. Not a time to be sad. Remember the story we heard? Stop crying. Don't blubber. Almost. And you think, that's the other thing, of course, about Christmas. It's not for one day, is it? I heard a no there. I only heard the one, but I'm sure everybody else could say that as well. Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles went on for 7 days. Now, I know some people in our lovely Christian family like to extend Christmas. They actually like to extend Christmas backwards, all the way back to... When's your decorations going up?
Mine are up in my room right now.
There we go. It's confession time. And they actually extended backwards. I actually looked out of my bedroom window last night and I could actually see, I couldn't actually see Naomi's bedroom, but I could actually see somebody across from me who've already put their decorations up. So we also know how to have a good feast. But we also extend in the same way that the Jews in the tabernacles extended, we also extend it forwards as well. Now, some people, as we know, have got their decorations up. But some people also take Twelfth Night literally. And some people even extend beyond Twelfth Night because they don't really, can't really add up, I don't think. I think their maths is gone. Personally, we get the decorations down on the 1st of January, don't we? Anne's nodding her head, so I must be right. Sarah, my daughter, gets hers down on Boxing Day. Oh, those poor twins. Can you believe it? I know. So, in conclusion then, we've actually learnt right away across the last 6 weeks what the exiles, how that happened, what it actually meant to be in exile. We've heard from Mike, we've heard from Naomi we've also heard from Sarah about Esther and about Ezra and about Nehemiah. And we've learnt so much. But the reason we've studied this is all about what God did for the Jews previously. We can also look at what God does for us previously, but also continually. Where God is looking after us, where God is with us today and tomorrow and the next day and into the future. Wonderful piece of news we had this morning about Pat going into the chapel. We don't know what this is going to be like, but we just know that she will meet with God there. And God is with her and looking after her. And that's your link. So, what I'd like to do is to actually take a moment right now and remind yourself what God has done for you this last year. To think about it. How he's looked after you. How he's been there. How he's given you a new job. How during the dark times he's been there. How during the happy times he's actually been there. Because that's what the exiles were doing at the Feast of the Tabernacles. The idea is to remember and retell it. And don't stop retelling it. Retell it again and again. If people get bored with your story, find somebody else to bore. You know? But we retell the story of Christmas time and time again, year on year on year. We sing the same carols year on year on year. We don't get fed up with it, do we, girls? No, we don't. And then let us just look forward to the next season that God has in store for us, Christmas and beyond. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the things that we've learned in this little series about the exiles. Father, we know that you, during those years, during those wandering years, that you looked after the Jews, that the Israelites, however we call them. But you looked after them, Lord. And we know, Lord, that we can learn from that. That we can put our trust in you. That when we don't put our trust in you, that's when things go wrong. But Lord, we just put ourselves in your hands right now. And I pray, Lord, for every single person here this morning, that you will continue to put your loving arms around each and every one. Put your loving arms around us as a collective, as a church, as a family, but as an individual as well. And I pray for those who are not here this morning, who couldn't make it. I pray for them as well, Lord, that you will put your loving arms around them and remind them, Lord, of the things that you've done, but give them that little voice that tells them of the things you're going to do for them in the future. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen.